Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Joe George behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees, a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees, and of course, that is my creation.
You and LeBron.
No, I was before LeBron. I was way before LeBron. I'm half Mexican. Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, they are the two powers of the Houston Texans, even on a Taco Tuesday. We're going to start having these talks, Blankers, because the dominoes are falling for the Houston Texans, right? They have their head coach, D'Amico. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not, that D'Amico Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans. The next shoe to drop is going to be offensive coordinator. Who knows when that's going to be announced. It seems like it's the worst-kept secret in all of sports that it's going to be Bobby Slowick. But every day that goes by where he's not announced, it's maybe a little bit more doubt. Who knows? They also put in an interview request for a defensive coordinator. The Houston Texans did, which is actually a dude that's on the staff of the Titans currently, but has never coached a game for the Titans, which is very interesting. We'll see if the Texans bring him in.
At any, like,
he was the safeties coach last year in Washington, and the Titans have like an agreement to a deal with him where he's going to be their passing game coordinator on the defensive side unless he takes a defensive coordinator job. And San Francisco, I think, has already interviewed him or put in a request to interview him. And then the Houston Texans have put in a request to interview him. I don't know how you feel about this, but I really don't care who the Houston Texans defensive coordinator is. Like, it's a very minimal care that I have on who the DC is for the Texans.
I mean, it's like we knew Lovey was going to take his son, but Lovey was going to call the plays. But you know, whether D'Amico calls him or not, I think that at the end of the day, as much as they say it's still being discussed, I think he will. But I think that that's why he's such a defensive minded coach and expert on defense, if you will. I don't think I'm losing any sleep no matter who they name.
Chris Harris is the guy, by the way. I was blanking on the name. And they also requested
former Bear. I was going to say former Bear.
Yeah, he interviewed with the Bears too.
He interviewed with the Bears. Yeah. And then they've also requested the interviews. Like, we've already heard this name, Marquand Manuel. But like, I really don't care who the defensive coordinator is because it's D'Amico Ryans who's ultimately going to be responsible for that side of the ball. Even if he's not calling plays, he's still going to be responsible for that side of the ball. So don't have as much passion for the DC as I do the OC. But those coordinator positions, filling out the coaching staff, the natural things that you have to accomplish after being announced as the head coach. And then you're going to have free agency. And then you're going to have the NFL draft. NFL draft first day on April 27th. So a lot to come for the Houston Texans in terms of the offseason. But one of those next few steps that the Texans have to start deciding on is which of their own they keep in-house. Because they have expiring contracts. They have the Laramie Tunsil, how do we want to call this, conundrum, where he wants to be the highest paid left tackle. He's telling everybody in the world that he wants to stay in Houston forever. He wants to be part of the rebuild, all of that stuff. Which players that are either asking for new contracts or had their contract expire should the Texans be interested in bringing back? We'll get to the Laramie Tunsil because I think we need to look at that in two separate conversations.
Titus Howard would be towards the top of the list, right?
Howard's one where you have to, like, he still has a year left on the deal, but he's in that situation where he has the fifth year option on the rookie deal where you start thinking contract extension. So that is a decision they might make this offseason.
Yeah, I think that, you know, looking at him, depending on the price that he's asking for and the fact he's been here his whole career, and look, he hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been awful. He's been versatile. They've used him all over the place. But I think last year he was very solid. I think that he's a guy they should consider extending and keeping around. And it seems like he's part of the culture, though he bought into Deshaun and, You know, he's had a couple of other things, but nothing that's, you know, earth-shattering or against culture. I think he's a good fit. I would do it, again, within reason, unless he completely tries to break the bank. I think it's a guy you bring back.
I'm good keeping Titus Howard. You're right. Obviously, it depends on the contract. That's part of the whenever people talk about contracts and trades, oh, you got to trade him. Oh, you got to extend him. Okay, well, what's the secondary part of that conversation? What are you getting in return if it's a trade? What is the contract extension if you're extending him? Do you want to lock up Titus Howard? Yeah, you want to lock up Titus Howard. But what if I tell you that he wants the most money of any right tackle? That's where you're saying, well, he's not worth
exactly.
That. So you're right. It depends on if you break the bank. Looking at some of the free agents that are coming off the books for the Houston Texans, there's nothing really there's a couple of names that you could be interested in wanting back, but there's nothing where you're going to like lose sleep over.
Rex Burkhead?
Rex Burkhead is an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, he has to come back. He's part of the culture.
Like people crush Rex Burkhead. I don't hate Rex Burkhead as a third down running back.
I mean,
he's pretty good catching the ball in the backfield.
You've coined the phrase "the fighting Rex Burkhead."
Right? He's mid. He's average. But he's like he belongs in the NFL.
He is the leader and definition of average. But if you're a good locker room guy, you can hang around.
Like I think he adds some things to the running back room. If you have, say you're keeping four running backs, he's a good option to have out of the backfield catching the football.
Yeah, he can catch.
Yeah.
He's not going to wow you with his speed or his ability to shake guys off, but he's steady and you know what? He's smart. He's going to do what you need him to do in the short times you use him. As long as you don't have to use him too much, he can be fine as a piece.
But that said, if he leaves, whatever. No one's going to lose sleep over that. The Texans have all but said that they have one quarterback, which is true. Kyle Allen, Jeff Driskel, free agents. But the way that they've talked about that quarterback room, saying that we have one, kind of lets you know that Allen and Driskel are out the door. You look at some of the receivers who are unrestricted free agents, like Brandon Cooks is not, but there's a lot of talk that maybe they move on from Brandon Cooks, depending on the cost, you know, a conversation that's going to go on all offseason. It's going to be one of the lead stories for the Houston Texans all offseason. Chris Moore, Philip Dorsett, like, whatever. Those are just average guys. One of the names at the tight end spot, actually, there's two that you might be interested in bringing back. A lot of people like the potential of an O.J. Howard. Didn't show much after week one. And then a lot of people love Jordan Akins 2.0 with the Houston Texans last year.
Yeah, no, you know what? And those are two guys for depth I would look at. I think O.J. Howard is a guy that I still feel like is an untapped resource. I feel like he got caught coming in late. It was a good pickup, I thought. Obviously, in the first week that he played, you know, he got a touchdown and everybody started losing their mind. They finally got a tight end, and then he fell off and disappeared, and then they worked him in a little bit. But I think in a new system with a guy that's still young with plenty of tread on the tires that came in pretty highly heralded from college, I'd give him another shot. I'd let him, you know, see what he can do and see if this new system's better fit for him. And then from there, depending on what you do in the draft, I got to believe they're looking at tight end in the draft somewhere. Right.
See, that's what's difficult about this, though, is that all of these decisions, for the most part, are decisions you're going to have to make pre-draft. Because free agency, at least the bulk of free agency, happens before April 27th. You always have the summer free agency market, like the waiver market, the cut market. But most of these guys are going to be signed by April 27th. So you have to kind of make that decision before you even enter the draft, which is kind of weird because I'm sure the Texans rather have the draft and then see how they could fill the holes after the draft, but the Texans won't have that luxury, obviously. I could see the Texans going either way there. We're like O.J. Howard, Jordan Akins, they liked what they got from, you know,
if you had
Quentin
to pick
Tarantino.
One of the two, who would it be?
Jordan Akins is older than people think. Jordan Akins, I think, is going to be 30 years old next year.
He's the Texans version of...
Jordan Akins already is 30. He's going to be 31 next year. He played, remember, he played minor league baseball.
Yeah.
So
he's the Texans version of Tate for the Rockets.
Yeah,
kind of. Sean Tate.
Like a versatile role player.
But everybody thinks Jay Sean Tate's 22.
Right.
And he's 27, 28.
Yeah. Like you mentioned Tate's name. You mentioned Jordan Akins' name. You're like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
All right. The offensive line free agents, Justin McCray, Scott Quisenberry. Nobody's going to lose sleep there. You look at some of the front seven guys. Rasheem Green, I don't think anybody's losing sleep there. The interesting name to me is Ogbonnia Okoronkwo, Obo, as we like to call him. A lot of people liked what they saw from him last season. I think Caserio kind of got this wrong. Not that he brought him in, that he only gave him a one-year deal. Because that's the kind of dude you would love to have had on a two-year deal, relatively
cheap.
He's
got local connections, right? He's local. I think he's a local kid.
So that's a decision you have to make. Honestly, I think that's the most difficult decision the Houston Texans are going to have to make with one of their own. What they bring him back for and the cost. Because he played well enough. Because he was making, what, $2.5 million last year, $3 million last year? I think he might get up to like $7 or $8 million in the offseason.
It's weird because when I watched him and when you went back and watched it where you could stop and just, you know, kind of what do you call it, flip around when I was watching games that I had recorded. There were plays that he was exceptional, mm-hmm. and there were plays that he just disappeared or just looked like he took plays off. So I understand that he was active when he was playing hard, but someone's got to be, maybe D'Amico's that guy that brings it out of him, that you get it from a, in a more consistent way throughout the entire game. But look, as you need as many young pieces as you can get, and he's a guy that could wreak some havoc, that could do some things when he's out there. So I'm fine bringing him back. It just, again, everything matters by price. What if he's going to try and get 8 to 10? Now I'm going to be a little hesitant and look at it a little differently than if I would be able to get him for about the same price I got him a year ago.
Yeah. See, I think he's played himself to a much bigger contract. It's why I wish Caserio, like Caserio's been
up a little bit.
And he's normally done that. Like Jerry Hughes. Jerry Hughes was a 2-year deal.
On a cheap. Yeah. Like if he gets the right price, he'll give you an extra year.
Caserio's been pretty good at signing these stopgap free agents on 2-year deals where the second year's not really guaranteed. Steven Nelson, I think it was a 3-year deal.
That's good because I like him.
Yeah. Steven Nelson, like, now Tavier Thomas is one you might have a decision on. Actually, Steven Nelson was 2 years. He's free after the 2023 season, which will be interesting to see the Texans bring in cornerback there. A good call on Oboe, by the way. He good recall. He's from Alief Taylor. He was a Lion from Alief Taylor. See, I want him back. I think he's your best in terms of, like, I mean, you could probably mention Jerry Hughes here. You might throw John Gernard into the conversation a little bit, although I thought John Gernard, an injury played a huge part of this. Incredibly disappointed.
Yeah.
And maybe D'Amico can bring the best out of him. But incredibly, like, we were talking about Gernard emerging as a guy who could get double-digit sacks. Injuries obviously played a huge factor. I wouldn't feel comfortable that he's ever going to get 10 sacks in a single season over the course of his career. So Oboe's an interesting conversation on what the Texans do in the offseason. 713-780-ESPN. Who are the guys that the Texans need to bring back? And who should they be focused on getting new deals with? Blankers mentioned Titus Howard. We'll have the Laremy Tunsil conversation. Are there others on this roster that the Texans should be looking at as your foundational piece? We're going to lock you in long term. Texans have about $40 million in cap space. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
6-1, 6-7. At least Burkhead has a Super Bowl ring, one more than the Texans have.
Who cares? That doesn't mean you can play next year.
That's also a good point. Both things can be true.
That's true. You got a great resume, but guess what? That was in your heyday, and that was then. This is now.
Texans should bring in Tom Brady.
In his swimsuit.
Didn't Cody make that thought like halfway through the year? Like one of five teams that Tom Brady could play for next year was Houston Texans. I think he did. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know, but again, no
better quarterback. How do you know about that underwear thing that you're
doing? It was because he was doing it. He tagged Julian Edelman and everything. No, someone sent it to me and goes, did you see this? He had tagged Julian Edelman and Gronk and was
those are his bros.
That's weird.
Those are his bros.
I mean, weird.
You get weird in retirement. What can you say?
He's always been a weird guy.
He has. He kisses his son on the lips.
It's that too.
Like, there's a certain age where you have to stop kissing your son on the lips, I think.
Yeah,
like, kiss him on the cheek. Like,
there's
head,
also like
whatever.
A length period.
I'm just going to be honest. I've never kissed my daughters on the lips.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it too. Like, the 9-year-old I got into his life when he was 4. I've never kissed him on the lips. I don't even think I've kissed Branham Baby on the lips, like on purpose. Like, it's accidentally happened.
I always kiss my daughters on the cheek or the forehead. And Joe, yeah, with your son. It was always weird. It was awkward.
Dude, my kid got COVID at like 3 months old.
Really?
So
you're going to blame it on that?
We've been trying to be extra precautionary for his life because that was a jarring start to.
I feel you don't love him enough.
Shut up.
I really do. I think if you're going to push it off on COVID while you're not closer with your son, I think that's a BS excuse. I think you just...
So you want me to be like Tom Brady?
You need to open your heart to a little more love.
And open his mouth, I guess.
Yeah. Well, maybe that too.
9193, Cody said it wasn't impossible that Brady would be a Texan. Are we saying it's impossible now? Have we eliminated the possibility of Tom Brady being a Houston Texan?
Yes.
Okay. I think we're all on the same page there. Killer Bees are on the same page.
Yes.
Who should Caserio and D'Amico be focused on getting new deals with? I like the Titus Howard one. Especially if you can get a deal there. Like, if you can get Titus Howard on, you know, I don't know the salary scale for right tackles in the NFL, but say you get him, like, on a pretty good value, I think that it makes a lot of sense. To me, like, I would be fine trading Laremy Tunsil if I could get a late first round draft pick.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe even like a top 40, 45 pick. Like if I get an early second, I'd kick the tires on that a little bit as well.
I think there's plenty of contending teams that still need offensive line help. Absolutely. That realize that he could be the quickest fix out there. And if they're willing to give up a late first for him, then you know what? Nice knowing you.
Yeah, especially with the like Laremy Tunsil's a really good football player. Mm-hmm. This isn't let's get rid of Laremy Tunsil like we're trying to get rid of Brandon Cooks, although we tried to do that with Laremy Tunsil last offseason. Like, this is a really good football player. This
is
borderline all pro.
He resurrected his career last year to prove, but you know what? As good of a football player as he is, his attitude sucks.
See, that's what scares me about Brandon Cooks, really, is that, like, is this Laremy Tunsil 2.0? I don't think Brandon Cooks, obviously, is as good relative to the receiver pitch position as Laremy Tunsil is to the left tackle position. Would never make that claim. My fear, though, is that, like, last offseason, so many people wanted to trade Laremy Tunsil because they were tired of his antics.
I did.
Little thumb injury, was out 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden it turned into 16 weeks and didn't play again. And if you traded him last year, you're getting what? A mid-round pick? Yeah, second might be pushing it, especially coming off the year. Probably like a third, fourth.
But there was demand. Cincinnati still was looking. Tampa was looking. There was a chance that there would be enough demand that you might be able to push it up a little.
Okay, but even like whatever that range is on what you would have gotten for Laremy Tunsil in 2021, what is it in 2022 or 2023? I got the years.
I think the stock went up. I think the biggest concern, though, that would bring it back down is the fact that he's in the final year of a deal, so that people
you'd have to pay him.
Teams are not going to be willing to give up too much, because they're going to have the challenge of trying to get him to ink the dotted line.
Maybe I'm exaggerating a bit on like how much he improved the stock, whether like fourth round to late first round. Maybe that's a reach. Maybe that's an exaggeration. But there's no doubt Laremy Tunsil improved his stock relative to the rest of the league.
Did someone tell Laremy Bill O'Brien's not in the league anymore, so he won't trade like everything on the farm for a guy that still has to have a contract extension?
He's back.
Oh, yeah.
He's back in the league.
But not as the general manager.
Like, let's say Orlando Brown Jr. leaves Kansas
City. Trade him. 31st pick,
right there. Exactly.
Absolutely, take Cincinnati. Where's Cincinnati's left tackle situation?
Well, they probably need help.
Remember, they were trying to get
a Kappa got hurt. Witt
back from retiring.
Whitlock. Whitworth. Yeah. I said Jason Whitlock.
I think my issue
with
Laremy.
Did you see him the other last week?
He looks like a left tackle.
Did you hear what he said though? He went off the rails.
He's been off the deepest of deep.
Oh my!
It depends on your political views. What you think of Jason?
No,
I think he's gone.
The last comment, no matter what political views you have, especially coming from a black man, were pretty bad.
What did he say?
He said, and he was blaming the shooting in Memphis on the fact that all those guys probably were the victims of being raised by a single-parent woman.
I should have asked you what he said. All right, what were we talking about with
My concern with Laremy Tunsil is that there is a playbook that has been used twice, it seems, of convince Nick Caserio and Cal McNair and the Texans organization to give you a fat contract, act happy, cry at your press conference, say how much you love the city, and then you demand a trade. Because Watson did it. Cooks did it, and like I'm concerned that Tunsil will try to get one over on the Texans again.
That's why I want to trade him. That's to me why, like, we hear this offseason, and look, you're on the get rid of Brandon Cooks side, which I understand. I just have a line that I wouldn't go past, and you're like, that's the popular opinion. Like, there's a lot of people that just would get rid of Brandon Cooks right now for a 6-round draft pick. A lot of people said that same thing last year, that just get rid of him. He's a cancer. Get rid of Laremy Tunsil. Just get him out of the Houston Texans. And now, because he had a good season, you probably improved at least 2 rounds in terms of the draft capital that you could get back in return for him. What I find to be kind of ironic, I guess, is that, you know, Laremy Tunsil kind of fooled you already. He improved his stock. I look at Cooks as a chance to prove his stock as well. But to Joe's point, like, Laremy Tunsil fooled you once. If he fools you twice, shame on you. That's why I'm trading the commodity for the absolute best he's ever going
to
be worth.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because you understand how quickly he can fade on you. And when he does it, it could be at the most inopportune time for you, and he does not care. And therefore, I would be really, really treading lightly on the fact that you've seen this act more than once, and you realize going forward now with a new regime, with a new coaching staff, with a new outlook for the entire organization, you should be done dealing with that kind of crap, no matter what the situation is. If you can unload him and they're still – because that's the thing. I mean, this is like the old Ricky Henderson deal. Every time Ricky Henderson was in a contract year, he hit 30 points higher than he hit the year before, and he actually tried hard on every play. And then he got a massive deal, and then he shut it back down. And that's what you face with the possibilities of Tunsil.
And the the problem with the NFL compared to baseball, too, like Laremy Tunsil, they're fetching like $24 to $25 million a year. Ricky Henderson played in baseball where there was no salary right. cap, and there used to not be the competitive balance tax and the luxury tax, so there wasn't a pie. Right. Like, there wasn't a pie where Ricky Henderson's taking a big piece of the pie. They paid them whatever. There was no pie. It was an unlimited pie. Laremy Tunsil's $24, $25 million is a huge chunk of the salary cap pie. And in the NFL, it's all about maximizing value to dollar, getting the most return on every single dollar that you spend. The best teams in the NFL get massive return for the dollar. That's why rookie contracts for quarterbacks are so big, and really for every position, but especially the quarterback position, because quarterback is the most important position. Look at what Cincinnati's paying for Joe Burrow and really Ja'Marr Chase, because he's still a rookie scale as well. Small piece of the pie mm-hmm. they can spend around him. Russell Wilson was like the famous story with that. If Laremy Tunsil has $25 million of the salary cap pie, all of a sudden he turns into last season's Laremy Tunsil, where he sprains his thumb and he wants to sit out for the final 13 weeks after he's been paid and he's happy, you're going to be a lesser football team. That's why you have to look at these players a lot of times as commodity. You have to look at them as pieces of stock, and it's a terrible way to look at them. I understand that.
It's the Daryl Morey philosophy sure. that the players hated, but he always thought was apropos, and that is you treat them like assets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one year you can be the apple of his eye, and the next year if he can get somebody better or upgrade the position, then you're expendable. And players hated it, but that is sports, professional sports today in a new day and age.
And what I respect about your opinion, quite frankly, even though that, like, we disagree with the Brandon Cooks part, is that you've been consistent with, let's get rid of Tunsil last year. Let's get rid of Cooks this year. You still want to get rid of Laremy Tunsil, and you do understand that his value has improved. What I kind of take annoys me a bit, I wouldn't say I take offense, but what annoys me a bit from like the local voice when it comes to Laremy Tunsil is all the people that wanted to trade Laremy Tunsil last year, that want to trade Brandon Cooks this year, one who signed Laremy Tunsil long-term.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous. Backwards to me. That's hypocrisy to me.
And here's the thing, Jeremy, because when we look at the draft, yes, left tackle is a valuable enough position that a lot of teams will use a first-round pick on a left tackle. But for the most part, we've seen this. Look, Mac Sharping found a way to start for the Cincinnati Bengals this year with his dog snot terrible as he was for the Texans. You can find offensive linemen that in the right scheme, in the right system, can do exactly what you need them to do. Yes, it's a little bit more challenging for a left tackle, but that's why there are many different ways that they can attack this without having to spend the 20-some-odd million dollars a year that Laremy Tunsil is going to command that I don't think the Texans are in a position to pay. Because the other thing with a franchise like where the Texans are at, I think when you talked about it, you said about, you know, the good teams. Well, the good teams, what they do is that they don't overpay early until they establish themselves as a good team. And then they have a luxury of having a lot of guys that want to play for them, so they don't have to pay as much as other teams in a lot of ways because those guys are chasing a ring. And so then it's really narrowed in terms of how much you still have a lot of money to spend, and now you can focus on just that one or two position group area where if I got to overspend there because this is the last piece to my puzzle, I can go do that because of the other two things.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Do the Texans have no choice? Do they have to bring back Laremy Tunsil? He's still under contract for another year, but do they have to give him huge left tackle money this offseason? How about some of the other players? John Gernard, do you think about extending him? Titus Howard as well. What would be the option at left tackle if you do move on from Laremy Tunsil? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Are you pot committed to Laremy Tunsil? Do you have to re-sign Laremy Tunsil, do a huge extension? There's some people questioning the madness on the Twitch. We'll get to that in a moment. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Thomas. Thomas, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Thomas?
What's going on, boy? I guess my focus is probably the O-line. You know, I just remember, and I could be off a little bit, but I remember when Dwayne Brown walked or we traded him, it was such a struggle to find the O-line. So Laremy Tunsil giving up all those assets. There's been years where he's been rated a top offensive tackle. I mean, he gives up a lot of penalties, but I think if you're rebuilding around a new quarterback, I don't think we can keep playing the seesaw game of new quarterback, no line. old O-line, no quarterback. I think you got to sign these guys, Titus Howard included. And, yeah, maybe go after a vet or, you know, go the draft route. But I think you got to sign those two guys on the O-line to keep building or hoping to build up something good. So I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Thomas. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Look, if you're worried about having your best offensive line next year in 2023, Laremy Tunsil's on it. Like, you're not going to be a better offensive line in 2023 if you trade Laremy Tunsil. That's a fact. So if that is a primary concern of yours, then you're right.
I mean, look, Laremy. It's very important if you take Bryce Young to at least consider it. Because everybody's going to be so hyper-focused on protecting him.
Sure.
That's where people, I'm not saying right or wrong, from a the team perspective.
Right.
But from the fans' perspective, everybody's going to be like, well, now that you got Bryce Young and he's fragile, you got to have Laremy Tunsil. And that's not necessarily the case.
Look, what Thomas said is true. Like, if you're worried about having your best offensive line in 2023, Laremy Tunsil is on that offensive line. That's not arguable. This is coming from somebody who wants to trade Laremy Tunsil. But Laremy Tunsil with $25 million of your salary cap, a huge piece of that pie, is that in the best interest of the organization for the next five seasons? Like, we all don't think the Texans are going to be a playoff team in 2023, so your focus should be more 2024 through 2027. Also, you have to ask yourself this question. What Laremy Tunsil are you going to get if you sign him to the big contract? The one that Joe George painted where he fooled you after he got tons of money, cried at the press conference, said everything he had to get paid, like you saw this year, a dude that was motivated, a dude that he was one of the best left tackles in all of football because he wants to get the biggest left tackle contract in all of sports, which I'm not blaming him for doing that. Why wouldn't he want that? Or are you getting the Laremy Tunsil in 2021 where he got hurt and just set out the rest of the year?
You can turn a hangnail into a season-ending injury.
So the question has to be, do you trust Laremy Tunsil for the next 4 to 5 seasons of this huge albatross of a contract? Because if you don't, then the question's very, very simple.
I don't, because I think that, you know what, like, you fool me once, shame on me. But you know what? If he keeps fooling you, nothing says he's not going to do it again. And you're right. It's a lot like the Brandon Cook situation. Both guys have played the organization enough times that you should be leery. Even if you still want to sign them, you can't put that out of your thought process and realize there's a damn good chance, especially if this team doesn't get off to a hot start or they're not a playoff team, that both guys want to bail on you yet again.
Yeah. The only argument, I think there's two main arguments to go against this thought process, is that Dameon Pierce at the end of the season said that he was held out by Caserio. So, like, is there any scenario?
Mr. Nick, please.
Yes, sorry. That Mr. Nick told Laremy Tunsil, hey, man, we suck. Just don't play that year. And the other thing is, for me, is that, you know, the salary cap is going up $17 million this year. Mm-hmm. The new Sunday Ticket deal with YouTube TV has not kicked in yet.
I hate it.
We're talking about, and that's over $1 billion. We're talking about legalization of gambling in Texas and other states like California and Florida still. Like, the salary cap is projected to just boom. These new TV deals really haven't kicked in yet. So if you sign Laremy Tunsil to a $25 million contract this offseason, like, is it going to be – like, what's the pie really going to be?
Become smaller. Those are good points. Those
so like
are
that's
really
where,
good
like, I kind of like the idea of keeping him, because for the first time in franchise history, how about you don't draft a quarterback and let him get murdered? You did it to David Carr. You did it to Deshaun Watson. How about you draft a quarterback and you provide protection for him?
I mean, those are all really good points. And like, 2023,
Joe.
2023, your best offensive line is Laremy Tunsil. Like, I'm not disputing that, even as someone who wants to trade Laremy Tunsil. But if I can get a late first for Laremy Tunsil, it's a no-brainer for me.
Like, me too, because look, here's the thing. When you look at what you are trying to do, the only way that it would make sense, and even still it wouldn't make that much sense, is if you front-loaded the contract because you have money to play with this year. And like Joe said, you're getting $17 million extra already onto the cap, where you can say, look, I'll front-load it for this year to get you to the where you want to be for the first year at least. But then we're going to start backing it off from there because we're going to need the funds and are going to need to purpose the funds in different directions if this team starts to take off. Because the biggest point that Joe made that I'm all on board with is, just like I said how important it is to get the right offensive coordinator, and in my opinion was head coach with an offensive mind, but if you weren't going to do that, now you need an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach because of the development of the quarterback, and you don't want him to go through multiple playbooks and coaches and all that stuff. Almost as important is, you can't let him get gun-shy by getting the crap kicked out of him on every play.
Look, if you can guarantee Laremy Tunsil's going to be motivated, because money motivates him, that he's going to stay motivated after signing the huge deal with a huge signing bonus, if you trust him, Look, it makes a lot more sense. You're drafting a rookie quarterback. It makes a lot more sense. The big finances that are about to come into the NFL, salary cap's going to be bigger. So this Laremy Tunsil, albatross contract becomes a little bit skinnier, right? All that stuff makes sense. But if the dude's on the field five games, all of a sudden you're paying a $25 million left tackle who's not even going to be on the field anyways. Because people are saying, well, how can you protect the rookie quarterback? Well, how are you going to protect him if Laremy Tunsil's hurt? Like, at least if you move on from Laremy Tunsil, you have contingency plans in place at the left tackle spot. Our chum on Twitch saying, who would you get to protect your new quarterback's left side? You could take Skorinski at 12, the rookie out of Northwestern, who looks to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. There's some other left tackles in this draft. Are you taking a step back at left tackle if you move on from Laremy Tunsil, a top three left tackle in the NFL right now, and going with one of these rookies? Yes, you absolutely are. It doesn't improve you next year, but it's not only a Laremy Tunsil for a late first rounder, it's Laremy Tunsil for a late first rounder and then $25 million in cap savings.
And then here's the other thing: if you don't spend all that money in one direction on one position on your offensive line, you're fully capable of getting yourself a better center, a better guard, and actually fortifying the entire line for probably the price that Tunsil's going to command at left tackle. You still use the draft if you do want to draft a left tackle. There's other ways to find serviceable and better than serviceable left tackles. But if you improve the overall line from left to right, you're doing a better service to your quarterback than giving all the money to one guy and trying to make do with what you did last year.
It's kind of the Verlander conversation we were having last year. Do you let Verlander walk, but in return, you get a first baseman Abreu, a left field DH Brantley, and an added arm in Rafael Montero? Would you do that, considering the Astros situation? The Astros did. The Astros felt that was in the best interest of their organization. Let's say you trade Tunsil for Cincinnati's first, Kansas City's first, somebody late first round. You get a top 30 pick, or top 32 pick, coming up in this year's NFL draft. You go. Let's say you take the best available tackle there. You still have two. You still have 12 to spend however you want. You take the best tackle at late in the first round. We saw how it worked for Dallas with Smith. It turned out pretty
good
for them.
Worked out with Seattle, too. They passed on some of the bigger names, but they got a guy that did a hell of a good job as a rookie.
So then you have, the left tackle there. Are you taking a step back in year one? Yeah, you are at that specific left tackle position. But then the $25 million that you're saving by not paying Laremy Tunsil, you go out and you sign the second-best center in the free agency market, maybe the best right guard in the free agency market. So you take a slight step back at left tackle, but with the savings, now you upgrade tremendously at center. You upgrade tremendously at right guard. While you took a step back at left tackle, I think that's a better unit.
It's a better line. It's a better... Exactly right. It's a more conducive line to getting done what needs to get done. You can always, leave the back in the backfield if you need to chip because the left tackle's getting beat a few times. But from left to right, then, you give yourself a better chance to run the football. You can see the whole field. And there's ways to overcome the left tackle struggling a little bit, at least, as he gets started. But I just think that that's a smarter way to do business when it's so important, because you could go overpay Tunsil, but then you don't have enough money to go do it, fortify the middle of the line. Mm-hmm. And now here comes the push, and here comes the same kind of pressure that you were trying to avoid on the left side, only it's coming straight up the middle. That's also going to affect your run game.
Look, I understand why it's hard to do. Like, it's hard to trade Laremy Tunsil because he's your best offensive football player, quite honestly. Relative to his position, he is the best football player you have on the offensive side. Most people want the Houston Texans to draft quarterback at number two. I think it's probably like 70-30 that in the Houston Texans fan base that want quarterback at number two. A lot of people think that in order to protect your quarterback, you must be able to protect his blind side with a really good left tackle. Yeah, you're taking a step back if you trade Laremy Tunsil at that position, but a chance to make the offensive line much, much better. Maybe slightly better, but you're not committed to the, like, huge contract that Tunsil has, and then the concerns that you have if you can trust Laremy Tunsil. Because look, Tunsil was great this year. There's no argument there. How many of you trust Laremy Tunsil? 713-780-3776. Because even after a great year, Blankers, I think it's 50-50 in the city with trust for Laremy Tunsil.
And I think the other thing, Jeremy, when you're saying that they might be slightly better, but that's okay.
Right.
Because this isn't the Texans line of the past, when you knew it was a sieve and guys were coming from every different direction to just annihilate the quarterback and they couldn't keep anybody out of the backfield. This was a pretty decent offensive line a year ago. It wasn't great. It wasn't one of the top five, but it was definitely in the middle of the pack and they did their job. So if you can do that and maybe just do a little bit more by upgrading center and right guard, I think you're doing exactly what you need to do where your roster is at this point.
And you could go the old football cliche, too, right? Like, is an offensive line like your five individual fingers, or is it like a closed fist? Is it five pennies, or is it one nickel? Like, are you looking for the collection of talent, or are you looking at the sum of all the parts?
Because I hate to break it to fans out there, but the pressure's coming from more than the left side. Mm-hmm. So you've got to make sure that you can fortify the rest of the line.
Look, and I think that you could keep Laremy Tunsil and still upgrade at center and right guard. And in fact, I think that's what the Texans are going to do. I think they will extend Laremy Tunsil. I think that they'll upgrade at center and right guard, and they'll have a very good offensive line. Like, I think that's what's going to happen. But if you trade a Tunsil for a late first, all of a sudden, all that money that you're spending on center and right guard, where if you kept Laremy Tunsil, you're spending $40 million of your cap money on center and right guard. Now you have $20 million, let's say, to spend on the rest of the team when everybody wants to spend that money on defense. You go this route, you save money. With the savings that you save from Laremy Tunsil, you upgrade the center and the right guard without even touching the salary cap space, and you still have $40 million to spend on the defensive side of the ball. I think it makes sense from a team building standpoint and for the whole roster, the upgrade of the 53. If you're not paying Laremy Tunsil, a guy that you're unsure if you trust, $25 million. Now, it does depend on what you get in return. If the best you're getting in return is a third rounder, sorry, not doing it. But if you get a top 40 pick, all right, Laremy, we appreciate everything that you've done for us.
See, I think that's where you go later with the whole barometer of what you did for me last year. Cooks didn't do enough for me to worry about it, but because Tunsil did, you do realize you're not losing the farm if you just say that's not enough to trade him.
See, yeah, exactly. Like the Cooks' point of view, like if I'm not getting, and we know how we feel about this, but if I don't get a top 150 pick for Cooks, I'm keeping him. I'm forcing him to play. Hopefully he's productive. If he throws a fit, then I'm sending him home. But hopefully he's productive, and then you trade him at the trade deadline. Like, which Caserio failed to do this past, actually, two deadlines in a row. He really should have done it in 2021. That's where Caserio really failed. He should have traded him back then when he had peak trade value, instead gave him a contract extension, and then failed a second trade deadline in a row by not trading Brandon Cooks. And now I feel like he's pot committed to Brandon Cooks, which is not a great place to be. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Legalized gambling in Texas. We're going to get it soon. One prominent Houston sports figure and furniture figure is against it. What? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're going to be at Drift Bar on Friday from noon to 7. Drift Bar with a huge crawfish boil coming up on Friday. I cannot wait. Super boil, yeah. I can't wait. Do you eat crawfish?
I don't.
I knew it. I knew you wouldn't eat crawfish. Why do you not eat crawfish? It's so good. We can give you ketchup and everything.
No, too much. It's a lot of work, and it's disgusting. And biting the head off of it. No, I'll pass.
You don't have to bite the head off.
Well, I'm not doing it. And I don't like the taste of it that much. So.
Okay.
Really?
I love crawfish.
Yeah. I love shrimp. I just don't like crawfish.
It's been like my number one thing about moving to Texas that I've just liked
crawfish.
The most. Yeah.
Did you like crawfish? Did you even know like what it was whenever you lived in Chicago?
No, I moved here 8 years ago. I had never tried it in my life.
Did you know it like it existed though? Like what it was? People did it?
Yes. Like I've been in New Orleans like once or twice. So. I knew, like, I saw it on menus, but...
Oh, man.
I can tell you part of the reason why it is, too, is because when Les Alexander owned the team and was still married to Nancy, and they went with that whole, we're not serving meat anywhere at any time, the only alternative was the crawfish. They served crawfish about 18 different ways in the press room, and we worked, you know, morning, noon, and night in that building, hoping to at least get a meal out of it, and I'm like, I can't do the crawfish thing.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I love a good crawfish boil. Like, the crawfish, you put all the fixins in there. What's the craziest fixin you've seen in a boil? How about a boiled egg? How about some okra? How about some Brussels sprouts?
I've seen the Brussels.
Oh, it's so good. And Brussels sprouts soak up the flavor. Like, that thing piques more than anything else. Love me some crawfish. Cannot wait to get to the Super Bowl at Drift Bar. We'll be there noon to 7. Drift Bar usually doesn't open until like 3 or 4. But we'll be there at noon. So they're opening up early for us. Swing on by. Say hello to us. Say hello to the Wheelhouse. Have some great drinks and have some fantastic crawfish. I'll eat all of Blanker's, so you don't have to worry about that.
You can have it.
The 49ers have hired a defensive coordinator. And this is relevant to the Houston Texans because the Houston Texans and San Francisco had a couple of, or at least one name that was both in both hunts. Steve Wilks will be the new defensive coordinator at San Francisco. A little surprised by that hire because it's not somebody from, like, the San Francisco pipeline, and that's what San Francisco has been known to do after Saleh. It was DeMeco. Kyle Shanahan even said that we want to hire a guy that's doing what we've been doing. I guess Steve Wilks' defense is very similar to San Francisco's defense. So a great hire, though, because I thought Steve Wilks probably deserved the Carolina job.
I think you're right. And I think that anytime you can add an ex-head coach on your staff as a coordinator, it's just an extra feather in your cap when you never know when you're going to need a guy that's been there and done that and been in a situation like that before. And I think it was a savvy hire by Shanahan.
Yeah, really good hire. He's a really good defensive coordinator. But what it means for the Houston Texans is now Chris Harris has one less suitor, right? Chris Harris interviewing for the San Francisco DC job, Chicago defensive coordinator job, and the Houston Texans defensive coordinator job at some point. They've requested permission. So one less suitor for Chris Harris. Gambling in Texas, sports gambling in Texas, sports betting, not a brick and mortar, just the mobile app. This has been something that's gaining some traction. We talked about this yesterday. Jim Crane, Tillman Fertitta, Jerry Jones, they've all been very supportive of sports betting in Texas. I read some Jim Crane quote, which was similar to the thought we had yesterday, where it's going on anyways. Yeah. You might as well regulate it, tax it, and spend that money back into the schools, whatever. Mm-hmm. However you want to spend those money, the money that you're going to tax these gambling apps for. I'm a huge proponent of it. I want to see it happen in Texas. But Mattress Mack is against it. Mattress Mack, who is known for making these million-dollar bets, does not want it in the Lone Star State.
This has to do something with politics.
Well, he said it's because he doesn't trust his impulses and because he's prone to big bets that a lot of times him traveling can cut down on the impulse betting that he has. But
he's bet on every big game, including not even the biggest of games. In the last 6 months, he's bet on your Cougs. He's bet on Dallas to win a playoff game. He's every chance he gets, he's putting another wager out there with another promotion. You're telling me that this is going to curtail it? Stop it.
Yeah. Joe George has some thoughts about this, too.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I don't get it. To me, it just feels like something that, the one thing I've also learned since I moved here is that the general thought process of why there's no legalized gambling or casinos in Texas is because we all can drive to Louisiana and do it there, or people in Dallas can just drive up to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why it's not legal in Texas. And it feels like the same thing here. And honestly, there's going to be $16 billion. ESPN just did a survey. 20% of the population, the male population, is going to bet on the Super Bowl, $16 billion worth. You can use these taxes for good, for roads, for construction, for schools. And honestly, it's just the idea of not doing it because it's selfish in the way he's talking about it, that it's, he doesn't want it legalized for him. And look, now there are downfalls. There are people like when you hear these ads, there's 30 seconds of all these hotlines and everything you call. So there's flaws in it, but it's happening everywhere else. So there's no reason it's not happening here.
That goes back when we just said the owners were on board with it. Of course you are, because it's a secondary source of income that you can now tap into, just like government will with taxing and everything else. And then everybody wins. The only people that lose are the people that make the bad bets, and then they can get themselves into trouble. I don't see Mac being that guy. And he's not going to stop the promotions, and nothing's going to change in his game, whether he can do the bets here or he can do it in Louisiana. I don't get it, because it seems like it's too much of a no-brainer win across the board from a state and government and the team's perspective.
Well, it sounds like he's trying to cut down on his sports betting a little bit by not having it available to him at all.
Good to hit
times.
The brakes after you cashed in on, 70 mil on the last win in the World Series?
Yeah, lost a lot, though.
I think you also have to, the one of the benefits is that if you want to do any weird laws with the legalized gambling, you can set that precedent now before it's federalized. I don't even know if that's a word. In Illinois, for example, you're not allowed to bet on the college teams. So, if you felt like – if the legislators felt like that's a concern here in Texas, there is a world where we wake up one day, we have legalized sports betting, but you can't bet on Houston, Texas, Texas A&M, Baylor, TCU.
Can you go to the Potawatomi Bingo and Casino in Milwaukee? And bet there on sports?
You can. And like, you can bet on everything else. You just can't bet on – you can bet on any college team in the country, but not on the teams in Illinois, because they had this like this weird philosophy that – or maybe not weird, but like they just thought it would be more likely to be corrupted than a professional
sports. More point
sports
shaving or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So like, even like if there was concerns about that, you could do that. So
we've seen college teams that were on the take. So.
Who was the one that – the 30 for 30? What team was it that was that chronicled? I can't remember the team.
I do remember.
It was a great 30.
Yeah, it really
30.
Was good. Yep. And I can't remember which team it was.
But they weren't even like, most of it wasn't even the spread. Most of it was the total.
Yeah.
Most of it was influencing the total, like late in game, trying to get under, trying to get over, which was nuts. Yep. Like, Joe, you bring up the point about like there's always positives and negatives to everything. Everything has positives. Everything has negative. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We know that. The one problem that I have with like the reasons not to have casinos, the reason, and look, no one's advocating for casinos in Texas. This is all mobile sports betting, which happens anyways. This is just now something that you can govern and tax and, you know, try to spin it back into good. There are never going to be law. Like a lot of people, we try to do this. But you'll never be able to fix stupid. Like, we put a lot of laws in place to govern stupidity, but you'll never be able to escape it. And that's kind of what all the laws against or the downsides or the negatives of mobile sports betting is that you're trying to, like, eliminate the people that have issues, the people that have problems. But quite frankly, you're never going to eliminate that. If DraftKings and FanDuel came in here tomorrow and there's legalized sports betting, those people might get addicted to that and they're going to lose tons of money. Those same people that are getting addicted to that probably have other sports apps or bookies that they can already use, and they're getting in trouble in a lot different way. Where now, instead of you just go to, you know, local Joe down at the bookie, you know, down at the corner, you're calling in your bets to the fish shop or whatever, the bait and tackle shop, those dudes are going to break your legs. Like, there's more negative to that than there is to be legalized.
I think that's where everybody that is oblivious to how gambling works doesn't realize how many people are doing this, regardless of whether it's legalized in Texas or not. Where there's a will, there's a way. And they're finding plenty of ways to do this on a daily basis. Would it be more convenient for them? Sure. Would they feel a little better? I don't know. But they're going to do it either way. So you might as well cash in and get your piece of the pie instead of just watching it all fly by to going wherever it's going, you know, via the internet.
Yeah, 3527, there are no sports books in Oklahoma. I think that might be, you know, budding, Joe. Although I don't think you talked about sports.
I guess I was saying more like
casino. I guess, yeah.
I didn't realize that Oklahoma. I thought Oklahoma just got theirs.
I don't know for sure. I don't think that they do. See DraftKings and FanDuel billboards.
No, I guess you're right. Yeah.
7869, Louisiana would lose so much money if legalized gambling in Texas. It's why everyone goes there. Now, this is just sportsbook. It's only remotely. Now, they would lose a significant amount of money. Like, Louisiana would. But if we as Texans, why are we so concerned about Louisiana?
Yeah, but like, I also, there's
and he's on board with it.
Yeah, because I think he has a stake in the DraftKings app.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, like, because in the nugget that John and Lance are broadcasting from, it's the DraftKings sportsbook.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, it's mobile betting, you know, that like going to the book during March Madness still has an experience for people. Like, Vegas is not dying,
right?
Like, these places are going to be just fine.
It is interesting though, when you go to the sports book now in Vegas, like, most of the people in the sports book in Vegas are making their bets on the app on their phone as they sit in the sports book.
Yeah, way easier.
But I mean, it's evolution. Like, it's just the evolution of the way that we live. 2182, you're thinking about the Mattress Mac thing wrong. Legalized gambling in Texas will undercut max promotional bets. I don't really understand that. Like, I'm trying to
How's
think.
How's it undercutting it?
Yeah, I don't know how it is, unless people are like hedging their bets on the mattresses that they buy. But again, there are other avenues to do it, even if it's not legalized.
Yeah, but like, if I did the Mattress Mac thing and I bought 3,000 of furniture or whatever.
I did this last year with the Bengals.
Then I would drive to Louisiana.
That chair you bought cost like $3,000.
Like, if I had the money, I would drive to Louisiana.
Right.
And I would hedge my bet just like Mac does.
Right.
See, like, that's the thing. That's the other misconception people have out there. Mac places that bet and then just leaves it and crosses his fingers and carries his lucky rabbit's foot around. He hedges his bets all the time to cover his ass based on the furniture sale.
He bets whatever you purchase.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
A little extra.
Yeah, I mean, Mac said that it was to curtail his impulse betting.
I think that's to cover the fact that it's about politics.
Which, Joe's point, it's maybe a little bit selfish. Although he shook my hand the other day and said he loves listening to us. I don't know if he's talking about you and I or Elvin or I. I don't know. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Steven Silas, he got mad last night. Skiller B's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.